morning.
Welcome to worship this Sunday morning. We're pleased to see you all here today. We have a few announcements as we begin our time of worship. First, that there's our gathering of young adults on Sunday evenings. We're not having the open table this evening. Apparently, there's some sort of national holiday this afternoon. And so we'll resume meeting next week. Also, as well, we wanted to mention one of our church members, Greg Fryer, joined a few years ago, Greg and Tammy. And Greg decided to take a gap year to do something that he, if he doesn't do it now, he's not going to get a chance. So he's going to walk the Appalachian Trail this year, starting in early March to walk from Georgia to the tip of Maine. And it's 2,100 miles. And at the men's breakfast yesterday morning, he'd said, "Hey, how about if you guys pledge per mile? That'll keep me walking, and we'll donate the money to the church." So someone said, "Well, I'll give 10 cents a mile." And someone else said, "Oh, I'll do 25 cents. And somebody else walked in and said, "I'll give whatever it takes to get it up to a dollar." It was like a Mickey Rooney movie. Alrighty, let's put on a big walk. But so we're raising the money. And then I jumped in and I said, "I know that Scott Butler would like to give a dollar a mile." And Brad Titus made the motion, and we voted, and it was unanimous. So big thanks to Scott Butler. We'll let him know. And we wanted to put that invitation out to you. And I think Ben Campney already has. Okay. He'll put a form for us to, if you'd like to pledge per mile, we'll do that. He's donating that to the church, so it'll come directly to the church, and that'll be a way. We'll keep track of him too, and keep track of his progress throughout those 6 months or 5 months. So there's a couple of other fundraisers going on. The dinner drama insert is in your bulletins. We invite you to fill that out, make your reservations. And Lori, if you'd come up and go ahead at that microphone. It's turned on. You can turn it.
First, I'd like to take just a moment and thank everyone that purchased casseroles from the youth last month. Maybe by now you've enjoyed one or eaten them all. We hope you enjoyed that. What I'd like to do next is encourage everyone to get out their cookbooks, spend some time on Pinterest, and get together for a great cookie bake-off in 2 weeks. We're going to have it in Fellowship Hall after the service. If you would just kindly drop your panna bars in Fellowship Hall before worship. We have Christina Moffitt from Creme Cupcake. She'll be coming to join us and pick her top three, and then the rest of us can, as Dave said, eat the losers. Actually, we're going to use them to fill our freezers for the soup and sermon series and also for the free clinic. So we really hope everyone will take some time. Get together as a family, kids, everybody, please just bake something fun and come and have time together after worship that Sunday. And I'd like to just drop a little teaser that the purpose of these contests, Winnie has so graciously agreed or suggested, I think it was her brainchild. We're going to do a series of them. You'll see others in the fall, maybe a hot dish or chili. But what we're going to do is put together a small cookbook of the best of grace. And that will be for sale before the kids go to Europe in 2020. So more to come on that. But it's the best of Des Moines picking the best of grace.
All right. So, thank you.
Thanks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
And then a reminder of our Soup and Sermon series is beginning in a week and a half. So on Wednesday, February 14th, is Ash Wednesday. We'll have an Ash Wednesday service at 12:10, and then the soup following. We'll also have an Ash Wednesday service, also with the imposition of ashes, at 7 o'clock on that Wednesday evening on February 14th. Now, friends, you, the best of the best of grace, we thank God for these opportunities for fellowship and for service. Let us now prepare ourselves for worship with a time of centering.
Please stand for the call to worship. How good it is to sing praises to our God, who is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up those of the city and gathers the outcasts.
Our God heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. The God of heaven and earth determines the number of the stars, who gives to all of them their names. Great is our God and abundant in power, whose understanding is beyond measure, who lifts up the downtrodden and humbles the wicked.
Sing with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. God gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry.
Our Creator's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor in the speed of a runner, but God's pleasure is in those who hope in steadfast love. Please join us in singing hymn 617, I Come With Joy.
I invite you now to be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's time. And hi, how are you doing? Good morning. Thy word is a light unto my path and a light unto hi, come on. There's plenty of room up here. To my path. Well, good morning. Thanks for coming up to sit with me. We're going to start with a reading from Isaiah 55. And there's some words in here about food. Listen for what it says about food, what it says about God, and how God feels about us. So food, God, and us. Okay, if you guys would read for us. Here, you can turn around and watch. Hi, hi. Hi. Go ahead.
Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food.
Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live.
I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for King David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples.
See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of your God, the Holy One of Israel, for God has glorified you.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, this reading from Isaiah, God is talking about a time in the future that will be so wonderful. You can have everything, not just everything that you need as far as food and things to drink, but it says delight yourselves in rich food. That, you know, like food isn't just fuel, that God wants us to have the very best in those ways. And is saying that God as well will be very faithful to us, and that God appreciates how faithful we are to God. That we're going, he talks about an everlasting covenant, which is, you know, just this promise that God will never forget about us. Now, how many of you eat food? That's almost everybody. Yeah. Yeah, it's just something that if we're very fortunate, we get to do every day. And in my family, when I really sat down and thought about it, I thought, okay, what were the rules about dinners? I thought, well, our dinner time and washing our hands. And I thought, no, we had a lot of, I don't know if they were rules. Yeah, they were rules, customs, traditions. In our family, that was just always the case. And because of that, and, you know, and because of our love for each other, it always made dinner time something more than just the food. That it was all about our relationship and about our care for each other, our parents' care for us. And let me read what I was thinking of when I thought of the rules. And you see, let me know if you have a similar rule, or some of you may remember this too. Many of these we still do. Supper was always at 5:30, and you were to be there and on time. But there's always room for someone and more. If there's somebody at the house, or if there's somebody who needs a meal, there's always room for more around our table. Wash hands. You have to wash hands? Yeah. Always say please and thank you. Ask people to pass. We don't reach across the table for it. And at our house, we always passed clockwise around this way. You may not have. I think that, too, that's more important with the bigger the family is. More help that is to know which way the food's going to pass. And then no one starts eating until everybody's been served. And let's see, no yelling or loud talking. That's just to kind of keep the chaos down. And I think our dad only had to say this once, but he would say, never, ever criticize your mother's cooking. Your mother's a great cook, and you never, ever say anything bad about the food. We might say that we don't like a certain kind of food, but not that it was prepared badly or anything. Also, another key lesson is if you criticize the cooking, that's how you get the job. And so, always try everything on your plate or everything on the table. You have to at least try it. Now, we didn't have to eat everything that we took, although you had to at least try it and give it a chance. And then mom would help us out with this. It was an unspoken deal, I think, is that almost any green vegetable, and some others too, she would put in lots and lots of cheese sauce. So broccoli and Brussels sprouts, that's how I learned to like those, because there was always good cheese sauce or white sauce around them. And let's see. Make sure that everybody has had enough. So no one starts until everybody at least has one serving. If you want like a third serving, better make sure everybody's had enough. And we always knew when my dad had enough, because often he would say, enough, to my brothers and I. That might not have been about how much food he had had, but he had had it up to here. Now, let's see, a couple more. You don't leave until everybody is done. Yeah, I've thought about that. We've had the rule in lots of places, you know, don't leave until you're excused, maybe excused from the table. But really, we always stayed until everybody was done. And then You might scrape your plate or take it over to, we were the dishwashers for most of those years, but or put it into the dishwasher and help clean up. You know, because if we make a mess, we all help to clean it up. And there is always a blessing. We'd hold hands during the blessing. Always a blessing. And if you don't like what's served, there's always peanut butter. You can always make yourself a peanut butter sandwich if you don't like what's served. Now, we know that not everybody does get three meals a day, and not everybody in the world gets to eat even every day. That there are many, many kids around the world who would love to have, say, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And if you went to the store, a loaf of bread might cost a couple of dollars or $1.50. Peanut butter, maybe a couple of dollars, you could find a small one for that, and same amount for jelly. So about for $5, you could make, as long as the loaf of bread lasted, you could serve about 10 kids a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you'd still have some peanut butter and jelly left over. And for the folks gathered here, you know, about 150 people, you know, we could, you know, if we all gave $5, then, that involves math. $5, 10 kids, 150, 1,500 meals that we could just do, you know, with, you know, eating, you know, fairly cheaply. But not everybody has enough to eat, and I often have too much to eat. And so eating is always about generosity, too, about noticing those who have brought it, being kind to those who have prepared it, even if we know who's grown it, to make sure that everything's fair, everybody gets enough. It's not just something that just happens during our mealtime, but our lives, to be generous, to make sure that everyone has enough, that everyone's treated fairly who helps us have the food. And so all of that is a gift from Jesus, and it's God's wish. God says, delight yourself. God wants us all to enjoy and be delighted, but wants to make sure that we're all together around the table. And so I've asked the ushers to come forward with, we asked people to bring some food donations last week, and so some folks brought it in here, some put it in the box as they came in, others from the other services have brought some things. So our ushers are going to bring forward these baskets, and let's go on up with them to the altar, and we'll have our prayer up there. Why don't you guys make room for them to come through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to come on through here. Make some room. And they'll lead us up and come on with me. Let's go around the altar and we'll have a prayer. Come on up. And let's hold hands. Take someone's hand beside you. Dear God, we want to bless this food and bless those who receive it. Bless us as well, and help us to be a blessing. Nourish us with food, and nourish us with your love, so that we can share it with all, so that there's always enough for everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you so much for coming up.
Our gospel reading. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verse 1 and 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable.
When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you,
give this person your place.
And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you,
friend, move up higher.
Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
He said also to the one who had invited him,
when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Well, you heard some of our family rules for a meal, for what makes a good meal, good, healthy, whole meal, not just in terms of the food, but the people around the table. And there's several lists of rules or descriptions, observations about what makes for a good, healthy meal or attitude about our food and our time together. So I read one from our family. I also wanted to put together, this is my list of wisdom that I realize I've said more than once over the years. So I'll share mine, shared my family's, then we'll talk about in Jesus' time, and then what he gave us as a change for that. So here's some of my rules for eating out. First of all, when you go to a restaurant, order what they say they do well. So you can't complain if you go to a barbecue place and you order the salad. You may like the salad fine, but you can't complain if you don't, because they didn't pretend to be a salad place. If you go to the beach, don't order a steak. If you come to Iowa, make sure to have the steak. You might do okay with the seafood, but only if it says it's a seafood place. Okay, next one is short. Never eat at a buffet late. Everything starts getting a little gamey after an hour or two. And dessert at a Chinese buffet always looks sweeter than what it really is. Like some of you. And you have a coffee. If you go to a coffee klatch, you know, at the coffee shop, especially small town, I've learned the hard way. Never get into a time-wasting contest with a bunch of retired guys. They're much better at it than you are. And at church, never get between a minister and the free food. You know, it's like don't get between a politician and the TV camera. You know, it's the thing. And here's a serious one. There are no calories in a meal that you share with old friends. The more old friends there are, the more those calories are divided and made smaller. And one that I borrowed several years ago, if you're especially interested in your health, a little rule of thumb that's easy to follow is don't eat any food that has its own commercial. If that food, processed food almost always, has a commercial, it's probably not the healthiest for you. So why such rules about food? Like the family rules. There's our family rules are somewhat about hygiene. Wash your hands, at least the minimum, so that we don't die as a part of eating the food. Lots of rules about avoiding chaos so we can enjoy the food. When I was a camp counselor, our camp director said, let's not have any of those contests, any of those, if you get caught with your elbow on the table, you've got to run down to the fire circle and back. Food shouldn't be a place of anxiety or trying to be on guard or the meal time. Let's enjoy our time together. And fairness, that there's always enough for everybody and that it's fair and not too much work on one person, that we all share in the work. And our family rules are about family cohesion as well, to have that time, whatever the chaos of the rest of the day is, we'd have that time together to keep track of each other's growth and progress and days and what's going on in their lives. Now, there were rules around mealtime in Jesus' time as well. They had come through the religious traditions. They were part of the culture. And many of us know what some of those rules were. If you want a whole listing of most of them, you can read through Leviticus and some of the other books. But there were foods that were forbidden to eat. There were no crustaceans, shrimp, oysters, lobster. No cloven hoof. Many of us know that, no pork is one of those. So no, eat from no animal that has a cloven hoof. Also, not allowed to eat of any animal that crawls or slithers on the ground. So no snake at the meal. Anything that's considered an unclean animal. But then also unclean people. So a number of rules about washing your hands. Now remember, this is long, long before anybody knew anything about germ theory, that there's invisible things that make you sick that you can just wash off. That wasn't understood in any scientific way, but had the rules about washing hands and noticed people stayed healthier when they did that. I'm sure that that was a gift. That rule was a gift, even when people didn't understand. And there were rules around hospitality and justice, that if someone came to your house, you were to feed them. If someone was traveling, if they were vulnerable, if they were hungry, you would feed them. And also rules of justice in terms of if you had fields, you would harvest the field, but you would always leave something behind for those who were poor, and they would go out and glean the fields. They would follow those who harvested, and they would have something then to eat for the work that they did. This is what Ruth and Naomi were doing when they met Boaz back in the Old Testament. But there were unclean people as well at the time. People who were considered unclean, and they weren't allowed. If you were a righteous person, you wouldn't eat with someone who had been disgraced. Eating with someone was always considered a sign of acceptance. And if you didn't accept who they were, if you saw them as full of sin, or they were just part of a class of people that weren't respected, you wouldn't eat with them. Now, these rules also had to do with cohesion, tradition, identity as a people, to say, even rules that nowadays would say, well, that probably has nothing to do with health, you'd still follow those rules because this is who we are, that this daily observance is who we are as a people and makes this mealtime and my life itself special. There were good reasons for, following rules and customs. But Jesus took almost all of these areas and what they were meant for, the goals of each of these areas, and said, the way that you have interpreted or followed the rules of this day interfere with the goals that we really have around justice and inclusion and cohesion. So, more than just washing our hands, if you want to keep people from dying, it's not just a matter of hygiene. He says in our story, invite the most vulnerable to your table, not the most venerable, those who need the food the most. In terms of cohesion, achieve cohesion not by excluding those that you deem unfit, but by building the bonds of love and care more strongly. For hospitality, do much more than the minimum of inviting those who can just pay you back and making hospitality not generosity at all, but something that you're going to get something out of it. But that real generosity to give or to receive requires a certain amount of humility. It requires often a reconciliation to really open up your table, to invite new people to the table or people with whom you've had a falling out. It requires forgiveness, confession. It requires reconciliation, any meal, whether you are fortunate enough to be able to provide it or fortunate enough to receive it, requires thanksgiving, a blessing, gratitude. In fact, it sounds a lot like if we are bringing together a diverse group of people, including people who we've just met and those who are longtime friends or those who are even adversaries, it requires peace and patience and kindness, self-control, It sounds a lot like Paul's lists of the fruits of the Spirit. And indeed, if you really want to enjoy the fruits of the field, you need to employ the fruits of the Spirit. Our church, when it was built back in the late 20s, wasn't built like the other big churches of the day. And we have churches around town, nearby neighborhoods, that were built just almost exactly the same year, Plymouth and the Westminster Presbyterian, St. John's, and Central Presbyterian. Or long, somewhat more narrow churches, with center aisle and long, and a flat floor. And those who built our church didn't want to build it like that. They mentioned how much they really liked the last building that they had and wanted to build it like that. They just needed a lot more room. And what they built, instead of what I call a cathedral-style church, instead of, at least when they built it, instead of having an altar on the back wall, they had a communion table right here. And then the pulpit behind it, the word and the table right in the middle. And then the pews all curved around, like a family gathered around the table. Not as a sense that there's an audience out there and a performer up here, or that you're all just solitary out there, but that we're all together as a family around a table. We are a church of the table. And that, I think, that image has continued on in how we relate to each other throughout the years. I think of the story when the health clinic was started now, 8 years ago, when things finally came together and we were able to have a doctor and a supervisor and then others who came in to make the health clinic. And it needed to be between 5:30 and 7 o'clock. And somebody said, I bet it was Mary Ennis, well, if people are going to be here during that supper hour, we need to offer them food. That we can't have health without hospitality, without care. Jesus tells us much the same. This is why so many of his images of the reign of God were about banquets to which we are invited to which we enjoy, to which we invite others and those who have been excluded for so long. He used that image. He showed that image. And that's why he was criticized by so many for eating with those that others saw unfit to be at the table. And we'd skipped over in our reading when it introduced the meal, and then our reading started right after a story of him healing somebody right there during that meal. All of that is to happen and to be a part of who we are. This is our health and our wholeness as people and as a congregation. So our rules are a bit different, a bit changed. So in honor to my family's rules, let me read you what our rules are today. We gather every week at 10:15. Be there. But there's always room for more. Yeah, there's some room. You should probably wash your hands. No reaching, just preaching. No yelling or loud talking, please. Yeah, I think that one works. No need to pass anything clockwise, but the preacher should be clockwise. Don't judge until you've given it a try and know what it is. There's always a blessing. Everything should always be fair, and no one should ever go hungry. And if you don't like what or who we are serving, there's always Presbyterians. Hey, it started with a P instead of peanut butter. Okay. I've got all week to write these things up. Okay. I have three more. When we make a mess, we all help to clean it up. Even if we don't make the mess, we pitch in. Please don't leave until we're all done. And come. Come to be reconciled and to be made whole. That's our invitation this morning to this table. To come together around this table. To remember what Jesus said to the disciples. To remember his offering of love. And his his promise that he will always be present with us. For our time together in this communion, you don't need to turn to anything in the hymnal or in the book, really. Once you have sung the song once, you know it. Come to the table of grace. We'll sing verses from this throughout, and anything else, the responses, then Melinda or I will indicate to you what we're asking you to do. Come. The table is being prepared. Come to the table of grace. Come to God is ever present with you.
And the people say, and also with you, and also with you.
Turn to the people around you and tell them this good news. The peace of Christ is always with you. Turn, do that. The peace of Christ is always with you. Okay, oh, and you have that mic. Okay, make sure it's on. And let's sing together, Come to the Table of Peace. Come to the table of peace. Come to the table of peace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of peace.
As close as breath, the Holy is present with us, so we lift up our hearts, and the family says, we lift them up to God. We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Holy Living One, because it is a right thing to do. Not only now, but always, for always is when God is with us. We thank you, Creator God, that you formed us in your image. We thank you, Sustainer God, that you are here with us.
Bring your hands close to your face and the sign for prayer.
We thank you, God, for breathing into us the breath of life. Even when we have turned away, you have remained with us, close as our own breath. When we have been frightened, hesitant, still you are patient. You have, time and again, reached out your hand to free us, for your promise is steadfast.
And so we open our eyes, our hands, and our hearts to your will for us as told to us through the prophets. We join our voices together, praising you along with all who do, have ever done so, and ever will do so, repeating, Holy, holy, holy God.
Holy, 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 holy God.
Everywhere we see your glory.
Everywhere we see your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
And the widest.
And the widest.
And the deepest.
And the deepest.
Core of our being.
Core of our being.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is your Son who came to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people.
Listen, people, the Lord is with you. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and sat down at the table and ate with especially those others considered unworthy. Let us remind ourselves by saying, the Lord is present with every one of us.
The Lord is present with every one of us.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread. He broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, eat from this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it as oft as you eat it in remembrance of me. And also, after they had finished eating, then Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to you. And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, the blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come to the table of love.
Come to the table of love. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of love. Let us be a community of messengers, proclaiming and reminding each other and creation that Christ has died.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
I invite you to raise your hands in the ancient Christian posture of prayer.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, liberated by his witness, passion, and life. Be with us. Holy Spirit, fill us so that you can move through us.
I invite you to make a point of connection with those around you by laying a hand on a shoulder, holding hands, bumping elbows, whatever is most comfortable for you.
By your Spirit, we are one with Christ, who is the host of this table, and we are one with each other. Let this joy be seen in us outside this place. It is with great thanks that all of God's people say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing together, Joy.
Come to the table of joy. Come to the table of joy. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of joy.
Table of grace.
Come to the table of grace.
Would you each take one of these and one of these?
Come to the table of grace. This is God's grace.
Here's the cheat sheet if you... United Methodist Church, we have an open table. All who earnestly desire relationship with Christ, who are seeking reconciliation with God, with one another, are invited to come forward and take part in the gospel feast. In a moment, we'll invite you to come forward or in the balcony. They'll be at the back of the balcony to come forward and take a piece of the bread, or up here we have the gluten-free wafers, and then dip that into the cup, and then return to your seat, or if you find a place at the altar rail, if you would like, for a time of prayer and meditation. Come for the table.
Thank you.
Holy God, we thank you for the gifts around us, the gifts of your body, the body of Christ in the church, the body of Christ in bread. We thank you for your presence with us. And wherever there is your presence, there is love, there is hope, there is strength. Let us share what we have. Let us work always for fairness and for joy around the table. We thank you for blessing us in many ways, our church and our community. Help us to always be open to inviting people who we haven't gotten to know before. And we thank you for those who have invited us and have included us so that we may know of your love and may know of your many good gifts. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, so we can forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet. And any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. And so, God, we bring now our offerings to the table. Let these offerings be transformed into food for the hungry, into nourishment for those who are weary, into words of good news for those who need good news more than anything in their lives and in this world. Please bless these gifts and bless us so that we may be purveyors of your grace as we have been receivers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, come one and all, let us feast upon the word and on the love of God. Feast until you have had plenty, for we all have had enough, and there is enough for all. And so, you may be excused, but let us go forward with the love and the fullness of God in our hearts. Amen.